Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. Today, the thrills, the spills, the truth behind our New Year's trip to Seattle.
I think everybody in this room probably knows somebody who's been thrown out of a bar. Raise your hand if you know somebody who's been thrown out of a rental car agency.
What do you mean it doesn't come with a driver?
Let's step out to Old Town Hall, where that big, warm, welcoming Northwest crowd strides several steps ahead.
I think the first 26 rows have it. I'm not sure. Oh, it's the love child of Johnny Bench and Judy Dench, Johnny Dench.
As the years turn one ahead and thoughts of future loom, let's play our word game yet again. Bring food. We'll rent the room. Right after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. At least one Republican senator is predicting the country will not fall off the fiscal cliff. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says the chances a deal will be struck are exceedingly good.
It will be a political victory for the president, and I hope we'll have the courage of our convictions when it comes time to raise the debt ceiling to fight for what we believe is Republicans. But hats off to the president. He won.
Graham speaking on Fox News Sunday. President Obama, meanwhile, is turning up the pressure on Republicans.
At a certain point, you know, it is very important for Republicans in Congress to be willing to say, we understand we're not going to get 100%. We are willing to compromise in a serious way.
Mr. Obama speaking there on NBC's Meet the Press. The House and Senate will go into session in a few hours as top lawmakers seek a last-minute deal to hold off tax hikes and prevent spending cuts that are set to start with the new year. As the negotiations come down to the wire, other partisan fights loom with federal spending at the center, as NPR's Jim Hawk reports.
The first post-cliff showdown will come in late February when the Treasury Department runs out of borrowing authority and has to come to Congress to get the debt ceiling raised. Many observers see the $16.4 trillion debt limit as the true fiscal cliff in the new year because of the threat of a default on U.S. Treasury debt and the tremors that would send through financial markets. The next budget deadline is due in late March when a temporary bill to fund the government runs out, confronting Congress with another deadline to act or face a government shutdown. Anti-tax activist Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform, predicts conservatives will wage repeated battles to trim government spending as funding bills for individual agencies known as continuing resolutions expire throughout 2013. Jim Hawk, NPR News, Washington.
Three buses filled with Shiite pilgrims in southwest Pakistan were targeted by a car bomb today. At least 19 people are dead and 24 wounded. As NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports, the attack is the latest in what has been a year of bloody sectarian violence in Pakistan.
Over 100 Shia Muslim pilgrims had just left Balochistan's Mustang district when tragedy struck. Police officials say they believe there was an IED planted in a car that either rammed the first bus in the convoy or was detonated when the first bus passed by. Sectarian killings have been rampant this year in Pakistan. Extremist Sunni Muslims have targeted Shia, whom they consider to be heretics. The violence has been particularly bad in Balochistan. Local police officials say that the blast completely destroyed the first bus in the convoy and damaged two others. Some 25 of the passengers were injured, some of them critically. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, Islamabad.
Earlier today, the bodies of 21 tribal policemen believed to have been kidnapped by Pakistani Taliban were found shot to death. This is NPR News. A New York woman arrested this weekend could face 25 years to life in prison if she's convicted of a hate crime murder for allegedly shoving a man to his death from a subway platform. Prosecutors say she's told investigators that she pushed the victim because she has hated Hindus and Muslims ever since 9/11. She's awaiting arraignment. The man's death is the second such fatality this month in New York. Talks continue today between the NHL and its locked-out players in a bid to salvage the hockey season. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, talks resumed after the league put a new proposal on the table a couple of days ago.
The NHL and the players held a series of conference calls on Saturday to review the latest offer. It comes a month after negotiations broke down. It's not clear whether any formal bargaining will take place today. Most of the discussions so far have been to clarify the owner's offer. The lengthy proposal, contained in a 288-page document, includes a 50-50 split on revenues, contract lengths to be capped at 6 years, no contractual rollbacks of player salaries, and $300 million in deferred transition payments to the players. And some sources say the best part of the offer was a willingness by the owners to negotiate. 625 regular season games have already been lost, and there are less than 2 weeks left to reach a deal before the entire season is wiped out. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Former President George H.W. Bush is still hospitalized, but a spokesman says he is out of intensive care. He was hospitalized in Houston, Texas last month for treatment of a bronchitis-related cough. He then developed a stubborn fever, but now a family spokesman says the former president's condition has improved. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Says You in Seattle is made possible by KUOW FM and the Fairmont Olympic Hotel. Historic elegance in the heart of Seattle. On the web at fairmont.com/Seattle.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. Boy. Happy New Year from the stage of Town Hall Seattle in festive Seattle, Washington. Telling them where we are. And welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. To get here for the new year, he traveled across continent, which is better than traveling incontinent. Barry Nolan. Okay, it's going to be that kind of audience. Fine. On the eve of a new annum, he braved the headwinds, weathered the weather, and just washed up at 8th and Seneca. Mr. Murray Horowitz. And to get here in time for the holiday, she stripped down to the essentials, carried nothing extra, and somehow still manages to look completely put together. Miss Francine Akbar.
I think we're going to need to strip down to the essentials.
Oh, boy. Where's the captain this week?
The Murr.
Here I am.
Mr. Horowitz. Murray will captain.
Yes.
To my left, Team 2, if there's anything he's learned in the last 2 days, it's never rent a car with Richard in Seattle, Washington. Arnie Reisman. If there's anything she's learned in the last 2 days, it's always let Richard travel by himself. Paula Lyons. And if there's anything she's learned in the last 2 days, it's just how peaceful travel can be without Arnie, Paula, and Richard. Miss Carolyn Faye Fox. And who might be the leader?
Peaceful, but not as interesting. Yeah. I will be the leader.
Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin and welcome the new year with a round of famous firsts. What primary progress was achieved by the following pioneering squares.
Oh, well done.
Little Seattle reference there. For...
Yes.
Carolyn,
yes.
What might have been the pioneering contribution in 1783...
I wasn't born yet.
I understand.
That's okay, I was.
...of Pilatre de Rozier and the Marquis d'Arlande.
Who?
What about these?
What about...
Pilatre de Rozier and the Marquis d'Arlande. I hope I pronounced this correctly. D'Arlande.
Are these French names you're getting yourself through?
Yes, I hope so.
They invented Pilates exercise to take care of eating all those chocolate marquise cakes.
Yes. Not quite. You'll get some points for that, actually. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
This is, they
changed their names to Mason and Dixon. I don't
know. That would have been good. Actually, this happened, it began in the Bois de Boulogne.
Did they create the very first zoo?
No. Oh, what a wonderful guess, though. I'll give you points for that.
Oh,
first park. First public park?
No.
It's got nothing to do with the French Revolution.
Oh, the
Bois
first?
De Boulogne. Wait a minute.
Nothing whatsoever to do with the French Revolution. It has to do with the trip, actually, between the Bois de Boulogne and across the Seine.
The first water skiers.
It's how they... I think Barry may know this.
Any help from the other side?
The Bois de Boulogne is now the great park in central Paris. In Paris, is this a ferry that gets you across the Seine?
Not a ferry.
It's a balloon.
It's a balloon?
It is, in fact, a balloon.
The Bois de Boulogne?
The Bois de Boulogne. The Bois de Boulogne, right.
It's all about a balloon, Mr. Horowitz. Can you elaborate, or is that as far as
sure.
you go?
Sure. A balloon is a big, round thing.
Did they do tethered balloon rides?
Have you ever heard the name Montgolfier?
Yes.
Yes.
Montgolfier, the balloons.
The balloons. Yeah.
The balloons, yes. They were smart enough to invent it, but not dumb enough to get in it.
Oh.
The first untethered balloon ride, the first human beings to fly, in fact, Pilatre de Rozier and the Marquis d'Arlande, Montgolfier had actually sent aloft before that, a couple of months before that, a tethered balloon which had a rooster, a duck, and a sheep.
But, hence the song.
But the first human beings to go untethered and actually fly the balloon were those two. On November 21st, in front of no less than Ben Franklin, those two, and Louis the 16th, incidentally, the two Frenchmen flew freely for 5 miles, landed softly, and promptly got drunk. Murray, what might have been the contribution to progress of magician the Count de Grizzly in 1799?
Now, how are you spelling grizzly?
Grizzly, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Oh, Grizzly. Okay.
Grizzly, yes, wait.
You see how it makes a difference.
When was this?
1799.
It was in 1799.
Count de Grizzly.
The primary contribution contributed by magician, the Count de Grizzly in 1799.
Now, we're talking about this is human pride. It's not like just like the first cat that saw a woman in half or something. It's like...
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my God. Very good. I knew it all along.
Yes, the first person to saw a woman in half, at least as an illusion.
Right, thank you.
Hence Grizzly? Is that
what? I don't know.
Ew.
The old song.
Arnie.
Yeah.
What might have been the contribution to history in 1865 of Dr. Mary Walker?
Dr. Mary Walker?
Yes.
Sawed Murray Horowitz in half.
I was not born until 1866. Okay. I'm sorry. Sure.
Dr. Mary Walker.
Dr. Mary Walker in 1865.
She was the first woman.
Yes.
Doctor.
I knew it.
No, that was...
In the United States.
No. First woman doctor.
No, that's...
She
that
was the first woman surgeon.
She was a surgeon, yes, not the first. She
are we talking the assassination of Abraham Lincoln?
No, we're not.
Are we talking the shooting of John Wilkes Booth?
No.
Okay.
Oh, it's so obvious she invented the walker.
Mary
Civil
Walker.
War medicine?
We are talking about Civil War medicine, yes.
All right. She was the first woman doctor.
And we should all know this.
Hired
this
by is... Clara Barton.
She was...
She's the first one to ask, what's your insurance?
Give him 6 points for that, because I think
I
it's important.
I don't touch that without an insurance card.
Right. I think it's important for America to hear that, yes.
She was the first woman doctor to treat men on the battlefield. How
well, she treated men on the battlefield, not the first, but...
Ether?
Got 6 points. Any help from the other side?
First person to remove a bullet.
No, it's the military aspect that's very important
She was
here.
In the Army.
Oh, did she invent triage?
No. Oh, well, that's a great guess. No. Any help from the audience?
Medal of Honor.
That is exactly right, from
Medal
the audience.
Medal
Dr.
of Honor.
Dr. Mary Walker... Let me just say. Yes. As the gentleman who is standing up back there has so eloquently said, Dr. Mary Walker was a Civil War surgeon and the first woman to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor for her work. But the story doesn't even end there. Her medal was rescinded in 1916 when the Army purged its files to cut down on what they thought were unwarranted issues. And it wasn't reinstated until 1976. So she was the first woman to win the Congressional Medal of Honor, lose the Congressional Medal of Honor, and have it reinstated. Dr. Mary Walker.
Wow.
Yes, sir. All right, try this one, Francine. What might have been the historical first achieved by Martha Washington in 1902?
Oh.
A little trickier than you might think.
Could be.
She was the first first lady to be dead 200 years.
100.
I'm half tempted to give him some points, but no.
He's off by a lot of years.
Yeah.
Seems to be a posthumous honor.
It was a posthumous honor.
Yeah. Very good.
Buried from
a portrait? Something to do with a portrait?
Well, something to do with a portrait, yes, but...
Bust?
Not a bust, no. It's where that portrait appeared, actually.
On a stamp.
There you
That's
go.
Exactly
oh,
right. Very good. I don't believe that. 1902, the first woman pictured on a U.S. postage stamp, an 8-cent issue. It's amazing to me that that would be true. Paula, what might have been the historical first provided to us by Mr. Glenn Miller?
What's the year?
Glenn Miller.
1941.
We're talking the Glenn Miller?
The Glenn Miller.
That's good.
The band leader. Okay.
Yeah.
1941.
Well, he was still around.
He was still alive. His plane hadn't gone down.
No.
The first band leader who went to war?
First band, yeah.
No.
Not the first band leader.
He hadn't gone, I don't think, at that time.
No, yeah.
He was thinking about it.
He probably was, yes. But 1941, he achieved...
Was he the first... First one to swing, baby.
That's true. 1941. I was surprised at this, too, but, you know, you tend to think of this as...
Now, we've watched that movie with June Allison a few
times.
We
did, in fact.
Murray has a theory.
Wait a minute.
Can you give us a hint?
That's a different show.
Yes, I can give you a hint. It deals with his success, actually.
Yep.
First million seller, first gold record.
First gold record is exactly right.
Just about
to go. Well, not now. Now gold's 500,000.
First person ever to sell a million records in 1941 was Glenn Miller. And finally, Barry, try this one. What might have been the historical first accomplished in 1998 by Mr. Craig Breedlove?
Well, we know.
Ooh, there's rumbling.
He had the fast thing.
Yeah.
He broke the sound barrier in a car on land.
Yes, exactly right.
Boy.
Yeah.
kind of car?
Right down the middle of the plate, that one.
Spirit of America.
He is the first person to break the sound barrier in a car on the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah with a top speed of over 760 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
You know, a car that fast could get from here to Bellingham in 2-3 days. But I've had some experiences over the last 48 hours that I don't want to go into. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends Miss Rose and the Rhythm Percolators. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two will get blank cards. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Murray's team. 10 points up for grabs to Murray if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he cannot. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Oding. O-D-I-N-G. Oding. Folks? To be in a Says You audience? Well, think back to the best moment of your life and multiply by 3. Then divide by 17. It's something in that area. There's the jokes you'll never hear on radio, the flubs, the dubs, the enterprises of great pith and moment. And this spring, there's more chances to join the fray. Our spring schedule of tapings will be posted shortly on the website at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. And we hope you'll be able to join us for a spring fling this year at a live performance of Says You. We'll be right back.
And ruin your bankroll. Take the spoon out of your cup. Well,
Miss Rose and the Rhythm Percolators. That is Sunga Rose on vocals and ukulele, Erica Kendall on the bass, Mark Bentz on cornet and percussion, and Ray Shelbred, whose name is actually spelled with a J, on piano. Thank you very much, guys. Also gives us a chance to thank our scorekeepers for this evening, Mr. Craig and Kirby Taylor. Thank you very much for keeping the score. For us this week, we've had a few seconds with the word oding, which I have to say is the contribution of Ann Rickey of San Mateo, California. Ann, thank you very much for that contribution. We've had a few seconds with the word. We will go first to Miss Carolyn Faye Fox.
Well, when I first looked at oding, I thought, well, that means to take too many drugs.
Yeah.
Right. You know, oding. But
does it mean?
I was hoping that wouldn't come up.
It might have something related to that, because it means the process of debugging and streamlining computer and video games.
Debugging and streamlining video games. Is oding? That could be it. Sounds plausible.
I don't know.
Or, Arnie, something else.
It's the undoing of the word doing. No, it's... It's actually, it's close to that, actually, because it seems to be the process or act of separating the good from the bad, like the old wheat and chaff thing, like pulling out those, or removing the unpopped kernels from the good popcorn, selecting ripe fruit from unripe and overripe fruit, separations.
Separating
the process of separating good from bad.
The separating the good from the bad, you are oding. Or, Paula, it is something else.
Well, I thought it was kind of related to ogling, you know, which is, of course, watching pretty girls or something of that sort. But oding is really just the art of watching dragonflies, preferably as they munch on mosquitoes while you cheer them on. But that's essentially it. And then you're hoping they'll turn on the caterpillars after that.
It is watching dragonflies is oding. You have to admit it's an interesting choice we have in front of us. That oding is either watching dragonflies, the process of separating the good from the bad, or debugging and streamlining a video game. That is the choice. Murray, what do you think?
We've confabbed a bit about, and we're prepared to go with Ms. Fox. We think it has to do with the one of the great local pieces of local produce in Seattle, Washington. Video games and computers. And we think,
yes, they grow them on bushes in the backyard.
Yeah.
So we'll go with Carolyn.
Is there any discussion, or is that just...
This is where writing microcode is a state sport.
Right.
Okay. So they think that oding is debugging and streamlining video games, Carolyn. Is that, in fact, what it is?
No, I made it up.
10 points. That was a bluff. Well, audience, it's your turn. What do you think? Boy, that is a split audience if ever I heard one. So someone up there was telling the truth. Who might that be?
You guys. Take it, Paula.
Oding, dragonfly watching.
That's what it is.
You believe that?
10 points.
We have been bluffed right out.
Dragonflies are odonates. O-D-O-N-A-T-E-S, odonates. And people who watch them are actually odors.
Odors, see?
So.
Really?
Are you a good odonate?
Oding is dragonfly watching.
Does anybody in this house know anybody who watches dragonflies?
Yes,
you do. Yes, there we go.
Look at them all.
That was a disturbing number of hands that went up there. That
love them dragonflies.
Let's go on to round three. Many famous people were born on January 1st. Among them, the following individuals to whom we allude in verse. 10 points if you can reckon the rhyming riddles and name the new year newborns. An example, extremism ain't no fake device if liberty is on the ice.
Oh, extremism is no virtue and...
Barry Goldwater.
Barry Goldwater, yeah. In 1909. Yeah.
Okay,
so
that's the one we got.
That's how this goes.
I'll
you take my 10
points.
Figure out the clues. Figure out the clues and tell me who was born on New Year's Day.
All right.
Carolyn, his life a model patrony, a Tuscan tower named for he.
What? I'm sorry.
Try it again. His life a model patrony, a Tuscan tower named for he.
Model patron. Yeah,
and has a tower named after him in Tuscany. In okay? Tuscany.
Born on January 1st, born on the New Year.
January 1st. Well, like that would be in Florence. So that's not one of the Borgias, is it? It's not Machiavelli, is it?
No.
Is it a Borgia?
Well, you're in the right. You're in the right.
No, but you're in Florence.
Is it Galileo himself?
No.
It's not Da Vinci.
No. He said this was a patron.
Certainly was.
The Medici.
It's a Medici.
That's who it is. It is.
That's what I was thinking about. I kept saying Borgia.
In 1449, Lorenzo de' Medici was born on January 1st.
You mean they had a January back then?
They certainly did. Try this one, Murray. January 1st birthday. A baseball backstops his milieu. Initially, a lawyer, too.
Initially, a lawyer.
Be careful with that.
Thank you, Richard.
A baseball what?
A baseball backstops his milieu.
He's a catcher. And a lawyer.
Initially,
J.C. Martin.
A lawyer, too.
Initially,
I think I heard
of... J.D. J.D. is a lawyer, right? So, who's a catcher with J.D.?
Is he right?
He's exactly
his
right.
His first two initials are J.D.
It's not J.D. The guy's initials are J.D.
J.D.
No, is it first? Is initials are J.D.? Or is
I think the first 26 rows have it. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's the love child of Johnny Bench and Judy Dench, Johnny Dench.
His name is J.D.
Yes.
Johnny?
Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio.
Joe.
John Dillinger.
No, a baseball backstops
his milieu.
I'm going to give him 6 points just because they got every part of the clue, and I'm going to go to the other side.
J.D. Salinger.
J.D. Salinger.
Catcher in the line.
We've been drinking. What can we
tell? Yeah, that's right. A little too much rye.
Of course, the catcher in the rye is the baseball backstop reference. And initially, a lawyer is a J.D. J.D. There was a lot of clues there, but
we were going a little too literal, actually.
Yeah. I'm really relieved because, like, the humiliation of missing a baseball question is now it was a literary question, so I don't care.
Yeah, right. I understand that. All right, then should I give Arnie the real stinker?
Sure! Yeah. Give him the stinker!
All right, you get this, I won't believe it. All right, there's a lot of clues here about someone who was born on January 1st. See if you can pick this one out. He bowled us over with alarming pace, but his fortune lay in second place.
He bowled us over
with alarming pace, but his fortune lay... in second place.
Is this a horse?
No.
In second place. Are we talking politics?
No.
All right, so we
the
are.
Olympics?
Are we are talking sports?
No, nothing at all about sports.
Oh, that's
this is a real...
NASCAR?
I was going to save this one for the end, but I gave it to Arnie because...
No, you're saying it's got nothing to do with any sports.
No.
Or any politics. So it's second place.
Well, there's something about second place that is a clue here.
Yeah. We know that.
That's where I'm going.
That we figured.
Second place.
No, I'm going to give you a hint here because this is First of all, does anyone in the audience know? Don't say it out loud. You know? Okay.
Well, I have no idea. What would that mean?
The second place, what do you get for second place?
You get place. You get money. You get a ribbon.
You get a silver medal.
Silver medal.
Yes.
Okay. Phil Silver.
He bowled us over. Oh, the other side got it. He bowled us over with alarming pace, but his fortune lay in second place.
Alarming pace. Is it anything to do with home security?
We're talking about the Lone Ranger here?
No. That is a wonderful guess. Silver bullet reference. It's a wide.
We definitely have it.
J.D. Salinger.
Silver.
The other side does have it. You got clues. I'm going to give you 4 points because you got some clues. But Murray.
Paul Revere.
Paul Revere is exactly right.
Oh, there
Paul Revere.
Oh.
Wow.
You should know that.
The bowl
That's
reference.
That's a lousy clue.
They're all lousy clues. Well, that was the hardest one, Arnie. So I give you credit for taking it on, and I give you 4 points for doing so. I'm going to get a little easier. We'll go to Francine. Francine, try this one. Born on January 1st, known to hang around in bars, but kept in stitches by the stars.
Stitches by the stars.
Known to hang around in bars, but kept in stitches by the stars.
Someone who sews costumes?
Well,
she sews Betsy Ross, maybe. Huh?
Betsy Ross.
Betsy Ross. That's it. Betsy Ross is exactly right. You know?
Oh, bars and stars. Yes.
January 1st, 1752.
Yes, I only knew that because I tried to pick her up one time.
That's right.
She didn't buy your act.
No, she was not buying.
This one, Paula. Born on January 1st.
Do you come to these battles often?
Yes. Try this one, Paula. We're sorry Tony Khan's not here to look and finger America's flattest foot.
Wait, that doesn't rhyme.
Flattest foot?
Yes.
I know who that is.
January 1st birthday. We're sorry Tony Khan's not here to look and finger America's flattest foot.
Are we talking about a detective?
Not a detective.
A podiatrist?
A cop?
A cop?
I got it. A policeman?
Well.
A gumshoe.
Sort of. The other side gets this category.
Well, that's probably the other side. Stop that nonsense.
Private investigator.
Tony's a clue here. Tony is actually a clue here. Gumshoe. We're sorry Tony Khan's not here to look and finger America's flattest foot.
We got it.
The other side has it.
Private eye. A private detective.
No, they really got this. This is the other side. They're not going to get it.
We're not going to get it.
We're going to go to the other side for
J. Edgar Hoover.
J. Edgar Hoover.
But you may have to explain to the audience how that relates to Tony Khan.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a little bit of an in thing here.
You explain to the audience.
Tony Khan's father was a Hollywood screenwriter who was blacklisted.
Was he ever? I have to recommend it. If you have never heard Tony Khan's documentary Blacklisted, it's one of the best things you will ever hear on radio.
It's beautiful.
So
it's
really try to find it if you can. I know it's online.
And it's taught in high schools.
Yep.
And finally, Barry, January 1st birthday. There's a little tag that goes with this. The Rio deal, that is true. Familiar with the coochie coo.
The Rio deal,
that is true.
Did you say Rio?
Rio.
Is this the woman that the singer that?
It's not her.
It's.
Yeah.
Oh, the other
side. Somebody is familiar. It's married.
Yeah, the name of the game is the other side.
No. Astrid Gilberto.
A Brazilian singer.
The
Brazilian girl from Ipanema.
Thank you, Paula.
The people that did the girl from Ipanema.
That was it. That's Astrid Gilberto.
No.
All right. Wait a minute. It is a singer.
I'm going to put an end to this real quick, and I'm going to go to the other side.
Xavier Cugat.
That's who it was. Xavier Cugat. Can you explain that, Paula? Can you explain that?
Yes,
well,
big
he
hit
was married
Brazil.
To the coochie 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 girl.
That's right. Charo.
Charo.
He was married to Charo. And I have to tell you this. While doing my research for this, I found out that Charo supposedly learned English from Buddy Hackett. English from Buddy Hackett.
And what did Buddy learn from Charo?
I don't know. Let's go on to round four before we get an answer to that question, which is Murray's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to create a definition for the word scunner.
Scunner?
S-C-U-N-N-E-R. Scunner.
Scunner's a
folks? So many ways to enjoy, says you. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend the live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net. S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. We'll be right back. Here Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at SaysYou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available. Hey, Boys and the Rhythm Percolators. Thank you very much, guys. In festive 30s garb. Actually, that's 20s garb, isn't it?
20s garb. Yes. Not 20s. Only that, but the lead singer is wearing stockings with seams down the back.
Yep.
A truly vintage garment.
There we go. That just changed the evening for me completely. We have had a few moments with the word scunner. We will go first to Mr. Murray Horowitz.
Well, not only do I not have any jokes, I have no explanation for this word, because usually you can figure out some sort of etymology for these preposterous words that Richard comes up with. This one I did have to do with schooner, somebody who was a runner, but it is in the old days, somebody who drove a wagon, was a teamster, but would go, was a specifically a long distance wagoner, was a scunner. And that's my report.
A long distance wagoner.
Yeah,
a teamster long who distance
specifically
wagoner.
Would go long distances, not just like short hops.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sort of like an Iditarod,
so in other words, from
wagon.
Here to Bellingham, for
yeah.
example.
Yeah. The first radio flyer.
A long distance wagoner, you drive the wagon a long distance, you're just a scunner. Could be that. Or Francine, something else.
Actually, it means a real loathing, an unreasonable dislike, distaste, yuck.
A kind of Pinteresque
feeling about things or a person.
Thank you.
About
yes.
what?
Things or a person.
About things.
A
the,
real...
It's the act of a kind of unreasonable dislike.
I feel scunner.
Oh, so scunner.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So you don't like somebody, a cop, a scunner.
I feel scunner and cranky and gray.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's a real loathing as a scunner. It's
yes.
just a you cop, a scunner on somebody.
Yes.
Could be that, or Barry, something else.
I believe scunner must be a newer word, because a scunner is an unusually unattractive man. I believe it was used. You may remember the Tennessee Williams play about the story of the desperate young woman alone on New Year's Eve in a bar. The play titled "Suddenly Last Scunner." <It's, yeah. laughs> Boy, they can turn fast,
yeah,
can't they?
Just...
So she is a stunner and he would be a scunner, is
yes.
that it?
I yes. guess so. It is either an unusually unattractive man, a real loathing, or a long-distance wagoner. So that is the choice. And Carolyn,
well,
the decision
well,
is yours.
Well, who would have thought a long-distance wagoner would start to sound sensible?
Yeah.
Repeat that. We're...
I yeah. said it's amazing how long-distance wagoner starts
yeah, all
to
of
sound
a sudden,
sensible.
Murray sounds oh, okay, sensible
thank you.
To me.
Can we hear another one? All right. I just think an unusually attractive man is just, you know...
Unattractive
like,
man.
No.
A troll.
Well, not a scunner.
I don't know. Scunner.
And I don't
never
see
heard
why
that.
Scunner is a loathing. It doesn't sound
it
right.
It doesn't it's... sound right. On the other hand, Francine could have presented it that way. So
true.
If it didn't sound right, we'd be thrown off the track.
I know. Yeah. A scunner should be someone who loathes.
Yeah.
As opposed
like
to a loathing.
As the actual act
I
of loathing.
I scun you.
No.
Is that a scun in your pocket?
Or are you happy to see me?
What do you think, guys? Team?
I'm thinking the long-distance wagoner is sounding good to me.
I'm going with that one.
It's the least the,
it's
least,
the least offensive.
Offensive. Get out of my head, Arnie. We'll go with
long distance yes. wagoner. We're going with Murray
is,
Horowitz's
we're going with
definition.
Murray right now.
Scum smoke.
Until further notice.
Despite the fact that I'm a singularly unattractive male, you're going
yes.
to.
And we have a particular loathing.
Murray, they have come to the conclusion that a scunner is a long distance wagoner.
I think conclusion is well chosen here, because they have reached a dead end. Scunner, please make up a definition.
Hey!
10 points.
I think it's
That was a bluff. Audience, what do you think?
I mean, if it were an unattractive man, I'd have heard.
They're all going for Francine.
I think they're going for Francine. I think it's pretty much Francine. They think that a Scunner is a real loathing. Is that in fact what it is?
Well, it's an odd one, but it is an unreasonable or extremely subjective dislike.
10 points for the audience. Very good.
Sometimes we just read off the cards.
That's what it is.
The triumph of Pinter.
They don't always make sense to us either.
So you really cop a Scunner on someone, right?
That's...
Let's go on to round five. Sing a song of the season. As we enter a new year, let's raise voice in homage to the following songs which contain initial words, like new and start. Words of renewal and promise. However, as in the past, points will be awarded by the audience on the basis of vocal performance. I thought you'd like that.
Yeah.
Carolyn, what commencing phrasing precedes and follows "I've been running hot, you've got me ticking, gonna blow my top"?
What? Oh, this is, the Stones.
Running wild.
No. You've got me ticking?
Ticking?
Yes.
Yep.
You were right about
everything so far, Carolyn.
So does the Stones. I'm sorry, I'm going to need about 10 minutes here.
Yes, good.
Oh, start me up?
Yay! Start me up. Well, wait a minute, wait. No, we need some singing here.
You make a dead man. Can't sing that.
It's a Mick Jagger song. She's not old enough to sing this.
I know, I love you.
Collectively, we're not old enough to sing.
Never stop.
That's the 10 points there. Isn't it? What do you think, audience?
Okay.
All right, we'll give them the 10 points for that. But audience, you're in charge here. Murray, what initial lyrics precede the lines, "It brings back the sound of music so tender, it brings back a night of tropical splendor"?
When they begin, the begin. Yeah.
Audience? 10 points. Very good.
Wow.
Tropical splendor.
I can't believe you got that one. That's great. Arnie, what initial words are used, "and then they rehearsed it. And gave out the news.
That the Southland gave birth to the blues.
Now,
what do you think, audience?
Yeah.
I think that was an 8-point performance, don't you? 8-point performance for that.
Okay.
Francine, what initial lyrics precede "I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moon and stars were the gift you gave the dark and empty skies"?
Right. The
sun. Oh, I think Paula knows this one.
And the moon, and the moon. Yeah, I do know that song. What is it?
I thought the sun
rose in your eyes.
Say the lines again, Richard. I thought the sun rose.
I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moon and stars were the gift you gave the dark and empty skies.
The dark and empty skies.
Remember, there's a key word in there.
First time I saw your face.
Well,
the first time ever I saw your face.
All right, try this one, Paula. What stirring encouragement do I hear prior to these lyrics? "Before you find you're a dull fellow punching the same clock, walking the same tightrope as everyone on the block."
I have never heard those words.
No, really? Okay. That's a tough one.
One more time.
What stirring encouragement do I hear prior to these lyrics? "Before you find you're a dull fellow punching the same clock, walking the same tightrope as everyone on the block."
Is that like "open a new window"?
Yeah.
Sing it, Paula.
Somebody better sing it.
Open a new window. Da, 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 da.
What's it from?
Audience?
What's it from?
How about 7 points? 7 points. That's exactly right, Karen.
I don't know. What's it from?
This protest.
No,
I don't know what it is.
She's exactly right. It's open a new window, open a new door, travel a new highway.
Points for you, Richard.
Yes.
What is it from, Richard?
That's from MAME, I believe.
Andy Mac.
And finally, Barry, you're watching the sun come up and counting your money, or else in a dim cafe you're ordering wine. Then suddenly there he is. You want to be where he is.
This could be the start of something big.
Well,
sing it.
Right?
This could be the start of something big.
Yeah. It's actually, this must be the start of something. This could be the heart of something. This could be the start of something big. But it doesn't matter. On a day when you scored 86 points, the victory goes to Mr. Murray Horowitz. Congratulations, winners this week. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Dana Fetter, Cameron Newell, Chris Krieger, Matt Shaw, Shirley Bossier, and all the folks here at Town Hall for giving us a wonderful time each time we come to Seattle. Thanks also to Jeff Hansen and the folks at KUOW for all your help. I think folks in Seattle like their public radio. Sure, and Salk and other writers, Matt Shaw mans the meters, and Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. From the web this week, Jeffrey Cheney of Mansfield, Massachusetts asks, if a shaved Bruin is a bear, and an absent fog is a mist, would music lovers' downloads be audio files? We don't know either, but we'll see you next week. Here's a new way to enjoy Says You. Our books, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, bring games from our first two seasons to print. Perfect for parties and gatherings where thought is required and wit desired. That's Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You, Volumes 1 and 2, on our website at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.